serial entrepreneur.
Hello and welcome again to Startup Magazine's podcast series, The Serial Entrepreneur. You are joined today by me, Anna Flockett, and my guest, Sam Jones, founder of Generate, a browser extension that enables people to monetize their own data and where people can make between £5 and £20 per month on average just by browsing the internet. Sam founded Generate because he could see that our entire digital lives were being tracked. Companies that we'd never heard of were profiling us and creating this digital fingerprint before selling the information and making money from it. Generate has been doing some incredible work in these times and has shown more than 2 million NHS and stay-at-home ads to users free of charge, despite having just lost 1.5 million investment at the time due to COVID-19. Sam, how are you? It's so great to have you on the show and welcome.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm very well. Yeah, excited to be speaking to you and making this happen.
Amazing. So I thought maybe to start with, we could just explain to our audience what Generate does and how it works.
Sure, absolutely. So Generate, very simply, is a browser extension that anybody can install and it's totally free. And really what we do, just to build on the intro that you gave, is we tell people that they are valuable, that their data is valuable, and that companies actually want to pay to show them what they're interested in via advertising. So every Generate user has their own profile where they tell us what they're interested in, and then we tailor all of the display adverts that they see anywhere online to be based on their interests, and we then share the revenue back with the user so that they are rewarded any time that their data is used. So right now we've had over 75,000 people in the UK install and use Generate. We're still growing by thousands per month, although that growth curve has changed ever so slightly since COVID. And ultimately, we're a small and lean team moving very fast and making a lot of progress in this space.
Oh, wow. It sounds really amazing. And what's your background in and how did you come to kind of found Generate?
Sure. So before founding Generate, I worked at Red Bull in a variety of roles for about 7 years. And most recently, I was in the position of what's called Global Brand Manager, where I was working on around about one third of their worldwide advertising. And it was a phenomenal role of great teams and a great brand to work for and to promote around the world. But it was from here, really, that I recognized this enormous opportunity to do things differently in marketing and advertising. And I recognized that fundamentally, people's entire digital lives are being tracked. And what that means is that every question we search for, every website we go to, every action that we take online, companies often that we've never even heard of are tracking us, tracing us, and creating digital fingerprints of us. Then they sell this information and they make money from it. But it's our information, it's our data. And I believe that people should be able to share in the wealth that's created from their own data. So that's why I founded Generate, really. It was to build this browser extension, to build this technology that enables people to control and make money from their own data.
That's incredible. And it's also quite scary, isn't it? When you just said, like, there's so many companies out there that are tracking you and following your data, you really don't think about it.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I think really many people aren't even aware that companies right now are making money from their data. So, for example, if I go to my local council's website, so Enfield Council in North London, just by virtue of going to their website, they're enabling 21 different companies to collect my information, seven of which are data broking companies. That means that it's their business model to sell my data and for them to make money from it. But it doesn't stop there, because, of course, similar things are happening across the majority of websites that we go to every single day. So I think really the starting point is that people aren't even aware that this is happening. And that's why really what we aim to do with Generate is just to put the power back in people's hands, to first off educate them and make them aware of what's going on. And then secondly, enable them to have control and ultimately to make money from their own data.
Amazing. How big is your team now at Generate, and how has the journey been in the last kind of 2 years? Since you founded, I believe, was it January 2018 that you founded it?
That's right. So we got going in January 2018. We're very lean, we're a very mean team. So there's five of us full time. Obviously, we're dislocated somewhat now, working from home in different locations. But before that, we were all working from the office in London. And yeah, it's been an incredible 2 years. We've made enormous progress in terms of the technology, the marketing, learning our acquisition channels, our acquisition costs, and ultimately scaling up to tens of thousands of users and growing quickly. So yeah, it's been a phenomenal journey and a great ride. On the business side, we've raised a little bit more than £1 million in funding, predominantly from angels, but with a VC coming in very recently with a recent cash injection into the business.
Oh, wow, amazing. Now, I believe that you are keen to see people given more control over what their data is used for and enable them to share the wealth that it's created from it, as you've said. So you've also launched the Digital Data Dividend, which is a petition for the government to allow us all to be able to share the wealth in our data. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Sure, absolutely. So this is something that we did back late January, so kind of in a pre-COVID world. So obviously priorities have changed a little bit since then in terms of what people are thinking about and what people are doing. But ultimately, there's still this core issue at hand, which we know will come up again in the very near future, which is that companies, as we've talked about earlier, are really using and abusing people's data. So we created what we called the Digital Data Dividend, which is a government petition, which anybody can sign. And ultimately, we're asking the Secretary of State for Digital Culture, Media and Sport to do two things. Number one, ensure that UK citizens can opt out from their data being tracked with just one click. And number two, we're asking them to ensure that companies who make money from selling people's data must compensate the individuals whose data they've sold. So that's what the petition is. But ultimately, this is about giving power back to people and ensuring that they are rewarded any time their data is used.
Oh, wow. It sounds amazing. And I guess you obviously have touched on this and emphasised it, but how important do you think data is in today's world? And also, how important is it for people to start having more control and seeing the transparency of what is done with their data?
So, I mean, to me, there's a pendulum shift that is coming, and it's staggering to even think about the way that the web works right now and the way that just by virtue of going to these websites, people are ultimately giving away so much data in a manner which they're not even aware of. And so to me, I think it's a fundamental right that people should be able to have control of their own information, and that if money is made from a person's information, that they should have a right to have access to some of those rewards and some of that revenue. So to me, it's a fundamental right. And there's absolutely no doubt if we fast forward 3, 4, 5 years from now, that there will be a shift in not just consumer sentiment, but in the way that many businesses operate, and that people will be able to earn from their own data passively. So to me, this is something which is coming. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, the future, and it's on its way in, sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And so obviously with founding it and the journey you've been on so far, what have kind of been your major challenges along the way?
Oh God, all sorts of challenges. But to kind of highlight our biggest challenge, which is something we touched on there, I think that our biggest challenge is also our biggest opportunity. And that's the fact that right now we need to start by educating people about the fact that their data is inherently valuable. Because the thing is, not everyone understands how their data is being used and exploited. So we have to tell them that. But then what we see is that off the back of every data scandal and every news story, we see that this awareness grows and people start to realize and recognize that their data is valuable. And as soon as a person realizes this, they then look to tools like Generate and others because they want to have the ability to have control of their data and make money from it. So from a consumer standpoint, our first challenge, I would say, or our big challenge is educating. And then, of course, from a technical standpoint, there's all sorts of implementation challenges which we've been able to overcome through to our great engineering team.
Definitely. And is there anything out there that is similar to Generate? I mean, I've never heard of anything like it, but you might have major competitors or...
So we're very much at the forefront of what we do. There is a company in the US who are doing something similar, but they're based on a cryptocurrency. And that means their users are rewarded in cryptocurrency. Whereas with Generate, of course, we reward people very, very quickly with cash, with vouchers, or with enabling them to donate to charity or causes they care about. So key differentiator really is that they're over in the US based on a cryptocurrency. We're in the UK growing very quickly and giving people tangible rewards.
Oh, wow. So just picking on that point, I guess I would download it as an extension to my internet browser, and then every time my information is used, does it just start putting money into a pot? And then when it gets to a certain amount, do I then tell you what I would like to do with it? You just said obviously you can donate to charity. That's amazing too. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. So you're exactly right. What happens is a person installs Generate onto their browser. They then continue, go about their day as normal. And what happens is that we give them points which add up in their profile, and then they can go to our marketplace and they can exchange these points either to donate to charities, to redeem products from our partners, redeem different vouchers. We fill this out with all sorts of different things, ranging from beer subscriptions that people can sign up to, which have been very popular during this lockdown period, as well as many other products from different partners too.
Oh, wow. And are you able to tell us any kind of the charities that you work with or any of the partners that you work with that you can get products from?
Sure, of course. So with the charities, we tend to ask our users each month which three charities they'd like to support for the month. And we rotate these on an ongoing basis. So right now we're supporting three different charities which have all been affected by COVID-19. So number one is an NHS charity. Number two is a charity for, I think it might be Shelter or a similar charity that's helping homeless people. And the third is a charity which is supporting the old age. I need to pull up Generate to quickly check which charities we have this month, but those are the ethoses behind the three.
Perfect. Obviously, it's great that you've got the NHS one, as you said, on there. Very topical. Let's talk about now the work that kind of Generate have been doing in the COVID-19 space. You tell us a little bit more about what you guys have been doing.
Sure. So, I mean, I think first and foremost, obviously, all businesses and all startups who are listening have undoubtedly been impacted over the last few weeks. And I think really the way this shakes out and the way that I view it is that as a business, you need to do three things. You need to respond, you need to rebuild, and you need to recover. So from a response point of view, what that means is you need to cut your costs, you may need to furlough people, you need to put out fires. From a rebuild point of view, you need to revisit your fundamentals, you need to understand what's changed about your consumer, and you need to adapt your business as necessary. And then when it comes to recover, you need to implement new revenue streams, you need to implement different marketing approaches, and ultimately, you need to turn back on or maintain your growth. So from our perspective at Generate, we're into this kind of rebuild stage now. And I think similarly for most businesses, as we're 6 weeks into the lockdown, they're also at this rebuild stage where they're going back to basics. They're looking at their fundamental business and their consumer. They're understanding how behaviors changed, and they're figuring out the best way to reposition or change their product. Similarly, to do the same with their marketing. So at Generate, we took a little bit of time for self-reflection. And after thinking deeply about the product and the platform that we have, we started to think about how we might be able to help. And we identified three different areas. So number one was that we wanted to support the NHS. And the way we're doing that is we're using our technology to amplify the stay-at-home and health awareness messages. So to date, we've served more than 2 million Public Health England and NHS ads to our users. The second thing that we're doing is we're supporting charities by using our technology to fundraise for them. And we've raised thousands for three different charities so far already. And the third thing that we're doing is we wanted to support businesses and people in a similar position to us. And the way we're doing that is by publishing our own proprietary research on how people's online behaviours have changed since COVID. So what we've done is we've analysed more than 32 million different browsing sessions to identify changes in people's behaviour. And we'll be publishing this report for free so that businesses can have access to data which will help them to adapt.
That's incredible. And obviously, I'm guessing you said you will be publishing, so it's not actually accessible yet. But are you allowed to talk about anything that you found? Has there been a massive influx in people obviously using internet browsers since people have been at home?
Sure. So, I mean, there's all sorts of changes that we've seen, and I'll leave most of them to the report. I'll mention a couple of kind of quick things, though. But ultimately, from the simplicity of the fact that we know people are spending 33% more time online, what becomes interesting is when you ask the question of where are they spending that time and what are they doing? And those are the kind of things that we can unearth and uncover. Similarly, of course, if you look more broadly, you can also see changes that other companies have highlighted. So for example, yesterday Facebook had their Q1 earning call, and they told us that over 800 million people per day are watching Facebook Live, and this is staggering. So it shows an enormous opportunity for brands and for startups and businesses to leverage Facebook Live at this period where the viewership is flying through the roof. Of course, similarly, there's going to be many other opportunities as well that arise. If we look at the simple fact that businesses are closing their physical storefronts and more opening a digital presence. So if you remember, of course, in the US, it's still one in three small and medium businesses aren't yet online. So we can, of course, expect to see many of these create a digital presence for the first time. And for those who've already invested in their digital presence, they are increasingly viewing this as their primary storefront. So there's going to be all sorts of changes. And I think really, it's about identifying what these changes are, understanding what is going to be a short-term change, a medium-term change, and a long-term change, and ensuring that you align your business with the future and not with the world that existed pre-COVID, because it may be the fact that your product is no longer as relevant as it was. And if that's the case, you want to understand and figure out how you can pivot and adapt quickly.
Amazing, amazing work. And obviously, I'm asking you because obviously you work in the space, so I know it'll just be your opinion, but do you think that the COVID-19 pandemic and what we're going through now will change the digital space forever? Like, are we entering like a new kind of era in terms of the digital world?
Absolutely. So I think we can already see that from the business perspective, there's been all sorts of acceleration, especially in the fact that decisions that would sometimes take big companies months or even years to sign off have been signed off in hours or days. There's been entire shifts to digital, shifts to cloud engineering, shifts, of course, to working from home and using conference calling. And some of these things will stay in the short term, some of them will stay for the long term. So without a shadow of a doubt, there will be enormous changes. And I think what's interesting, and no one quite has the answer yet, and it's always opinion, is which of these changes are short term and which are long term. And if you can understand a long term trend, that tends to open up a lot of opportunity for you and your business. But I'll give you a quick example of some things that we've seen looking just at Google search data. And we've seen three behavioural changes that we break into three categories. And that's the category number one is shock, number two is gain, and number three is acceleration. So shock is where we see a sudden spike followed by a decrease. So this is looking at the search volume for different items. So for example, if you look at the search term face mask, you'll see there's an enormous spike in it, and then it falls back down to earth very, very quickly. So this is what we would see as symptomatic of a shock behavior. We put that in the first category. The second category, the gain, is where there's an increase which then remains stable. So for example, if you look at the search term home workout, you'll see that this has increased very quickly, but then it's maintained. And then the third, and this is where there's a lot of opportunity, is when you see an acceleration, and that's where there's that up and to the right sustained gain. So for example, with a search term like home delivery. So it's really about identifying what changes have happened, and there's different tools you can use to do that. Or of course, the study that we'll be publishing will touch on quite a few of the changes that we found, but it's about identifying these and then moving to maximize them to your advantage.
Sounds really interesting. I can't wait to read the report. Now, I believe also in this time, you guys lost an investment due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Sure. So, I mean, in terms of timing, we were a little bit unfortunate in the sense that we were just closing around 1.5 million from a couple of different institutional funds. And of course, as COVID came in and struck, the behavior of investors changed very quickly. So from our perspective, what we experienced was people hit the brakes. They didn't want to close the deal and they wanted to wait. And with all of the economic uncertainty that's floating around, they wanted to wait to see how things pan out and what changes. So, of course, from our perspective, that was a bit of a blow. But of course, capitalism is a full contact sport and you've never got time to lick your wounds. So what we did is we pushed on and then we actually raised a more modest round of funding from existing investors and one VC who came on board. So fortunately, we are still able to keep our momentum and to keep moving forward throughout this period. And we hope to grow stronger throughout it so that on the other side, whenever that may be, we can be in a position to really have a strong foundation to keep building from.
Oh, wow. And obviously, it's nice to hear you talk about it in like a positive way. And was it purely just the bad timing and obviously the whole corona thing that came along and kind of spoilt it for you guys?
Absolutely. No one saw this crisis coming. But of course, when it did strike, you would expect businesses and investors, of course, as well, to change their behaviour based on it. So what we experienced was a lot of the funds that we were speaking with and the ones who were very far down the line on, their focus ultimately changed to ensuring that their existing portfolio survives through this. And that meant that they were reallocating funds away from new investments and into their existing portfolio. That meant that they were looking at different verticals, and they're looking at now diversifying across more rather than doubling down across specific verticals. But of course, this is different for every VC. I'm only speaking from our own experience, but what we're aiming to do is to ensure that our metrics keep growing, that we keep progressing, and that we can raise a large round off the back of this in the future, once the funding environment is a little more more positive.
Yeah, definitely. And hindsight's a wonderful thing. If you'd have obviously seen the corona pandemic come in, would you have guys have postponed or, you know, just not gone through the funding that you tried to go through?
Oh, if I could see this coming, I'd have closed the round 6 weeks earlier. Had we done that, if we had all of these funds in the bank, we'd be in an extraordinarily advantageous position. So right now, as a startup or as an SMB, if you are cash rich or if you have a strong bank balance, there are enormous opportunities for you, particularly because the cost of media has decreased enormously, usually between 30 to 50% looking at the channel. So if you've got money to spend, and as we head towards a recession, which is inevitably coming, now is a great, great time to have that. So if I could have predicted the future in January, I would have very quickly closed the funding, probably in January, as opposed to early March, which meant that we got hit right at the worst time for us.
Yeah. And what other changes and kind of adapting has Generate had to do since the COVID-19 crisis? Have you guys been remote working? How have you found that?
Yeah, so of course, we've been working remotely. We actually, before the lockdown, we implemented remote working. So we were a little bit ahead of the curve there. But fortunately, because we've got a small team, because we're all very, very energetic and very enthused, we have morning Zoom calls. We have catch-ups throughout the day. We use Slack and other channels. So we're able to not have any hit in productivity, which is great. It also makes me think about the more longer term changes when we look at larger businesses who tend to have very heavy outgoings on their office rent or their buildings. It makes me wonder whether this will really continue in a post-COVID world, because from our side, even as a small startup, I'm wondering if we really need to be physically based in the same location after this, because we can actually achieve everything we need to achieve remotely anyway. So I think there'll be a lot of changes. But fortunately, from our side, remote working is absolutely fine. We've also, if I go back to that respond, rebuild, recover, we, of course, had to respond by cutting costs. We had to also look at how we could drive different revenue, how we could maximise existing revenue, and what changes we'd need to implement to achieve those things.
Amazing. And what do you guys have planned for the future? Did you have kind of a 5-year or say a 10-year plan that Corona came and kind of destroyed, or does the future and the pipeline still look pretty much the same for you guys?
No, so it's a very different outlook, of course. I think as for most businesses and industries, it's a very different outlook from now to the end of the year versus what we thought in January to the end of the year. So the very first thing is that we'll be looking at doubling down on the opportunities that we see and the assets that we have. One very core asset being, of course, our ability to understand changes in user behavior and the data, the proprietary data that we have. So we'll be looking at doing more and more clever and interesting things with our data, which will enable us to support other businesses. I see a big opportunity for that throughout the rest of the year, which if not for COVID, we wouldn't have been focusing on this, I don't think. So that's a nice kind of silver lining. Of course, we get the majority of our revenue from advertising. If we look at the ad market globally, we can see that it's very much down. And if we head into a recession, we can assume that that will continue to decrease. To some extent, we need to see what happens to the economy. That will impact our revenues. But really, we want to continue to grow our user base. We want to continue to understand and use our data. And we want to continue to keep as much momentum as possible heading through the next few months as we start to plan and make larger plans for 6 and 12 months ahead.
Definitely. And I feel like you've given a lot of empowering advice all the way through. But do you have any kind of final words or advice for other startups out there?
So I think one of the advantages of being a startup in this period is that you're likely to already be very lean. That's, of course, a good thing. There's a lot of businesses that aren't as fortuitous as that. But what I would say is ensuring that If you haven't done so already, you cut your costs as much as possible to maximise your runway. This is going to be incredibly important, especially as the funding environment is likely to get much, much harder over the coming 6, 12 or possibly 18 months. So number one, I would say ensure that you make the difficult and hard decisions now. Don't put them off. Number two is I would say the other great advantage of being a startup is you're very agile. You have the ability to pivot and twist and turn and move very quickly. So I would really encourage people to look at their existing business, look at their existing assets and the model that they have, and see what the opportunities are that they can leverage and that they can use. And these are very likely to be totally different things to what they thought of just a few weeks or a few months ago. But they really need to look at the new environment that's playing out now. So they need to think deeply about how that's going to change over the coming months, or they may need to reposition their business so that they can be a part of this future post-COVID world. So I'd really encourage people to think deeply about meaningful changes that they may need to make, and not to put them off and to stick to a business plan that they made at the end of last year. Because one thing's for sure, the world's changed and they need to change with it.
Definitely, Sam, they were great words. And for our listeners and for myself, when will your report be published and how can people access it?
Sure. So we're looking at publishing it within the next 14 days from now. So it'll be ready kind of early May to mid-May. In terms of accessing it, we're going to make it available on our website, which is generateads.com. If anyone, we haven't even put up the placeholder page for it yet, though, so we'll build that next week to put that on the website. If anyone wants to get in touch, they can reach out to me directly on LinkedIn. Just type in Sam Jones or Generate Ads and you can find me there. And of course, I'm more than happy and willing to try and help everyone in this ecosystem. It's a small world and all startups are struggling. So if there's anything I can do to support you, feel free to reach out and let me know. And anyone who wants access to this report, drop me an email. We'll put your name on the list and we'll make sure that you get it when it's ready.
Sam, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. And I'll make sure that we put these links in the bio when we release your episode so everyone can access everything that they need to.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time. It was great chatting.
Thank you so much for being my guest today, Sam. You've been amazing.
Serial Entrepreneur.